I'm Joe Collymore, and joining me this evening is my co-host, Michael Dow. We are both with Harbor Media, and tonight is a continuation of a new series that we've called South Shore Diversity Spotlight, which actually highlights some of the interesting organizations, be they new or established throughout the South Shore, who bring a richness and diversity of both their feelings, their actions, their energy, their belief systems, their virtues, and all that combines to the rich, as I'd like to call it, the gumbo that exists here on the South Shore. Joining us this evening are members of an organization called Hingham Pride Project. Joining us is Alyssa Porter, Michelle Leonard, Daniel Miller Dempsey, and Katie McBride. So let's just get right to it. First off, tell me about Hingham Pride, and when did it begin, and what was the impetus behind it organizing in the first place? Who wants to take that question first?
So Hingham Pride Project sort of began while I was sitting on my couch watching TV one night. I think I was watching some news show about LGBTQ plus community. And something in my brain, it was July, so it was, or August, so it was following the whole 50 flags campaign that we have in Hingham, where they put out 50 flags on people's yards, bordering them, to show support for 4th of July. And so I thought, wouldn't that be great if we could show support for the LGBTQ plus community by lining the streets with rainbow flags? And so, as you always do in Hingham, you put it on Hingham board, and I put it on Hingham discussion board, and maybe somewhere else. And I got a lot of positive feedback. I was really, really surprised. But despite the positive feedback, I thought, well, we'll see. I said I'd bring it up once the school year had started. We'll talk about it in October. We'll see if we can get a meeting together. So come the end of September, beginning of October, I reached out again, and I specifically messaged the people that said that they wanted to participate in the meeting specifically, not just getting a flag. And everyone that I reached out to got back to me. And at that first meeting, I believe we had 10 people. And from that point on, everything just kept moving forward in a super positive manner. And every time we got together or on the daily when something would happen, we'd say, how did we get here? How did this happen? And I think we all still have that reaction. So that's how we started and came to where we are now.
Let's talk a little bit about the timing of this Pride Project. Was there a gap that you felt was needed to be filled, so to speak?
So I think that Hingham is a very supportive community of many things, but I don't think that you can see it enough necessarily. So when I had driven through town in the month of June, you see your standards, like Old Ship Church, they always have their pride flags out. And you see a few other places, residences mostly, that have pride flags out. But it's not a community effort, and the businesses aren't reflected, the town isn't reflected. And I really wanted there to be a great show that was so impactful that the people that not only live in this community, but people around the community would see, wow, there's a lot of people that are being supportive and are taking this extra action to show us that we're supported. And so that had been my thought, not necessarily that there's a gap in support, but in showing the support.
Well, we also see that hate crimes around the United States are rising, and we see that acceptance of the LGBTQ plus community is actually falling if you look at some recent data, which is not so good. So you take those two in combination, and I think it's imperative that we show support. One of the really great things is local support. And so this is what we can do, is at home and in our town, show people that we care.
And also, from the fire that Alyssa has lit, I think we've all had a fantasy of having a child riding in the back seat of their parents' car through town during Pride. When we're in a world where progress in the LGBTQ plus community is sometimes moving backwards, and having that kid see those flags and see that support that Alyssa and Katie were talking about, and maybe give them peace and hope for what's to come in their own lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we've seen already in people responding to us and youth responding to us is that they're thanking us for what we're doing because they don't feel that same support maybe in their school, or don't feel comfortable asking their parents if they support them because the parents aren't super vocal yet. And we've already seen that in some of the responses that we've been getting. So that's been really nice to see.
A couple of you mentioned that at the national level, progress has been problematic, that it seems to, you know, in one moment move forward, but then we have incidents that bring us back or there's a regression. Whereas Alyssa mentioned that you found that there was a lot of support in Hingham that was almost beneath the surface or hidden. So how would you approach the Hingham community in terms of developing a sense of tolerance in a practical way? Like, how would you educate the community locally, especially given the sense that I got from you that you were surprised at how much support there is?
You know, the visibility in town, what we've done so far by the launching of the Hingham Pride Project, by soliciting donations for the flag, offering the flags for free, certainly having quite a bit of presence on social media. We have that's where we've seen the real great support from people all over town and beyond. You know, I came out as a gay man after I was out of high school. I didn't grow up in a town that I would call anti-gay, but there was no presence there. And seeing these flags, seeing people talking about it, I hope will foster those conversations within people's homes so parents of children can proactively be able to say to them, you know, hey, here are all these flags around town. Do you know why they're there? And have further conversations with their kids. That, to me, is the biggest hope that I have for this project.
You know, I was curious about what would be your response if a young person, someone who's a minor, who's of the LGBTQ plus community mindset, were to approach you. How do you respond? And do you, in any way, involve the parent in that conversation?
I think that is something that has happened up to now. We did go and speak to the GSA. We went and spoke to them at the high school and involved their teacher. And some of them did go back and speak to their parents. We did not do that directly. And then we've also had, like I said, somebody reach out to us directly thanking us. We've had some say that they wanted to come to meetings. We haven't had them yet, but school was still in session. So I think there's so many things that are asked of students these days. Trying to take on another task during school is probably a little bit difficult. So we haven't involved the parents up to now, but we are happy to, the whole hope is that they would join as well.
Let's talk about the flag. I'm familiar with, you know, what is generally easily recognizable as the Pride flag, if you will. However, your logo has some additional colors. Tell me about that. You've got brown and black in your Pride flag colors. Is that right? And when did that come to be, and why did you choose to do that?
So the Philadelphia Pride flag is a flag that was designed in order to increase inclusivity of people of color. And there's been some divisiveness within the LGBTQ plus community on how people of color are included. And so that was included in the Philadelphia Pride flag. And we decided that more inclusivity is better than less. And so we rolled with the Philadelphia Pride flag in order to design our logo.
And the designer of the logo is actually Michelle's cousin, who was a Hingham High School graduate. So
yes,
that's nice bringing it home, the Hingham part as well.
I think having the Philadelphia Pride flag with the extra colors in it is extremely important, especially in Hingham. Our demographics tend to swing very white around here, but we're not 100% white, and we need to, again, be inclusive of all our Black and Brown community members and show that we see you. We see everyone. We see all of you.
And haven't they also further added, because I was looking at this today, they've added white, like a powder blue, pink as well. Is there anything to be said about the further additions of those colors? It seems like we're pretty much near the full spectrum now, which is great.
Well, the white and the powder blue and the pink is for the transgender flag. So that's part of one of the things that we would like and hope in the future is to be able to kind of offer that. We've discussed that at the meeting. And so, yes, there is a flag. I think, Alyssa, we were looking at that too, where it incorporates everything in like a triangular pattern or something.
And was the launch party, I mean, it almost goes without saying, but the launch party, I would assume, was your big coming out moment, so to speak, in the community,
yeah,
right, as a collective, which is extremely important. Since you had to delay from late March into May, right, May 9th, if I'm not mistaken, what are you looking at the practical level in terms of pushing that back? And does the delay concern you in any way? Do you feel as though there is a solid momentum both now and in the next few months?
So first off, we had pushed it back originally to May, hoping that we would be through this by now. I think like everybody was thinking probably the same thing. That is not looking like it's gonna happen. So we're indefinitely postponed. It's not canceled, and we decided not to cancel it because we have hope that at some point in time we're gonna get to party and we're gonna get to have everybody together and really celebrate and bring this, continue the momentum. I think the interesting part about the momentum is that we're all dealing with something different in our homes. And so even those of us that are part of the project have moments where we have a lot of energy and we're ready to take off and do some things. And then we have others where we just don't have the energy for it. And so we're trying to allow that within all of the volunteers, but trying to also understand that in the community is that people have the capacity to do what they can. And so, and we hope that just people will continue to do what they can. So we're hoping that as we have the energy to get it out there on social media and on our website and the different things that we're doing, that people will also continue to come with us until we can actually all get together in one room and party.
So it sounds to me like you folks are in, let's call it a visibility stage, right? How do you, and so it's still early, so if you don't have an answer, that's fine, but how do you look at activism in the community as well? If we want to consider that, let's say, the next stage, once we can socially reconvene, for example, do you have ideas for the high school, or do you have ideas for parents, or anything along those lines that would be like a support system that would combine visibility with activism?
I think we're in data collection mode, right? So when we went to the GSA, we asked them, what do you want to see in the community? What do you feel like is missing? And they gave us, they challenged us, which was fantastic because I don't feel like we get challenged enough by young people. And so, because they're the ones that are coming up in this. So they challenged us. They gave us a lot of information. And so I think the goal was this, and we're still in the first year, which is still a little bit mind-blowing, but I think we're just in the data collection mode, seeing how does the community respond, how many flags are out there, what do people say once all of these flags are up and people are driving around the community, what's the Hingham discussion board and the Hingham pin board look like, or how do people respond to this sort of thing, like what are people saying? And I think then we're going to know where the gaps are. Because I think that's the other piece is that, like Alyssa said, it wasn't visible. So there might be a lot of support. We just don't know where it is. And so now we'll get to see who's supporting us, who's vocal, who's willing to come along. And then we'll kind of go from there. I think we have some plans that we're probably are the big, you know, dreams, but in the first year, it's got to be just, you know, collecting information and seeing what the needs are in the community.
So Michelle, you mentioned the GSA, which is the Gay Straight Alliance, which is a high school group.
Yes, it's now Gender Sexuality Alliance.
In terms of speaking, you know, with relating to the community, is that like I'm just curious, is that the strongest group you're working with, or are there other like bodies in the town as well that you can have that kind of correspondence with?
So Old Ship Church has asked us to be at their Pride picnic, which now I'm sure, I can't speak to it, but maybe, you know, canceled. I'm not really sure about that. We've spoken to some statewide groups that are looking to move more out into the suburbs and be less focused on Boston. They're really seeing a need in the suburb areas that they hadn't targeted before. And so we've started working with them to help out with the South Shore and kind of be their liaison down here to get help. We talked to the GSA. So the Derby Street Shops, they were going to also have a big event at the Derby Street Shops in the grassy area. And they wanted us to speak and have some speeches and have the kids come out and do a bunch of activities. And so we were also going to help with that partnership as well. So there've been quite a few groups that are starting to reach out to get our help and to team up with us, which is great.
And I think it's also important to note that the type of organization we are will allow us to give funds that we raise to other organizations to do that sort of grassroots advocacy, and not specifically mm-hmm. us. You know, we're not going to be the group who goes up to the State House in Massachusetts. It's going to be hopefully able to empower groups like Gender Sexuality and Allies to do stuff like that.
I grew up here on the South Shore. I'm heterosexual, but being a minority, a person of color, here on the South Shore, seeing very few people that looked like me, and taking great comfort when I met other kids, particularly of my age, of my color, in the neighboring communities here on the South Shore. And my parents went to great effort to meet other families of color on the South Shore and eventually organized themselves into the first South Shore chapter of the NAACP. So I can only imagine perhaps what it must be like or would have been like for my contemporaries during my era growing up on the South Shore who were of the LGBTQ community and perhaps suffering in silence, if you will, and feeling isolated. So I would be very curious if each of you could share with us perhaps your experience, however, to the extent that you're comfortable to share.
Like Dan said, I didn't grow up here in Massachusetts. I moved up here, well, now almost 10 years ago with my now wife. And I grew up in Tampa, Florida. And I came out as an adult also. But part of that was I didn't know what I could be. I think I didn't know what it meant to be a lesbian because I didn't have anybody visible to me that was. There weren't people, famous people, and there weren't people in my community, and I didn't have any friends that were gay as a young person. And so I just grew up thinking, all right, maybe I'm a little weird, but all right, I guess this is just the way we go. This is what the option is for me. Gay Straight Alliance has actually started in the same year that I graduated from high school. And so it at least down in Florida. And so I didn't even know that that was a thing. And then by the time I got to college with a couple of speed bumps, because I'm in the military, it wasn't okay to be gay in the military. Don't ask, don't tell was still in place. So every time I would think that it might be okay to come out, there was some sort of roadblock. And so eventually I surrounded myself with people who seemed like they were like me. And then I was comfortable. And then all of a sudden, I was like, hey, Mom, yay. And then I felt like the whole world opened up to me that it wasn't before.
I think my experience was completely different. I grew up in Hingham, and my youngest aunt had a roommate, and he was a close friend in the family, and he had moved here from California after his divorce from his wife when he came out as being gay. And this was, you know, the 80s and the 90s, and he had a really hard time, and things didn't go well. But from my family's perspective, we were always just loved him, and I didn't know any better. I didn't know why people were so mean. Flash forward to modern day times, and my cousin, who's not that much younger than I am, is mid-30s, and I really couldn't understand it, being in Massachusetts and thinking, well, this is one of the most accepting states, and we have passed so many laws ahead of everywhere else, and why did it take him so long to come out? And it was because when he went off to college, he went to a gay club, and when he came out, he was beaten up, and then feared to come out to his family in public, even though we were supportive. It wasn't that he had fear of support from us. He had fear of the larger community for his actual physical existence. And so that to me was really jarring, because it was something that in Massachusetts I didn't think was a thing that happened. And I was naive to that. So that was a big need for me to show the opposite.
And I think for me, growing up in Massachusetts, at a time where there was no GSA at our high school, there also wasn't any rampant anti-gay things happening in town either. I always knew as a teen and as a young college student that my family would ultimately be okay when I came out. I knew I was gay for a very, very long time before I came out. And I think for me it was, I didn't want to say the words because I couldn't take them back. I didn't want the potential losses that would come along with it, whether that be from friends in our church community or friends that I had known from childhood. And as I grew older, those fears became less, but still not enough to have me sort of take that leap and come out, just because of the fear of the unknown. And I obviously finally did. And I've been married for 16 years to my husband, and we have two kids, 12 and 11. And when Alyssa started talking about this project and her desire to see this town painted in a sea of support of rainbows, it hit me to think what my life would have been like, as great as it was, how much nicer it would have been if it was more part of the community that I grew up in. And
this project and what we're trying to do, and it is the right thing to do. But personally, I mean, I do have connections to the LGBTQ plus community, even though I myself am heterosexual. My best friend since we were both 14 years old is queer, and she is in a long-term partnership with a transgendered man. Yeah, my brother-in-law is gay. I'm a pediatrician, so I take care of kids who are LGBTQ plus, and I love them all, and they're so great, and I cry all the time there too. You know, they tell me their stories and they tell me their fears, and so it matters a lot.
I think a remarkable thing is too, is that a lot of people see this as just so Hingham insular, and we've been getting a lot of feedback from people. Somebody found out my husband bought 50 pounds of flour, and so I've been giving it out to people. And this woman said, my daughter wrote a list of things she wants to do over our time at home, and her number one item was a pride flag. So she said, I knew you were the one that could do that for her. And so, hey guys, I gave her one to keep. she doesn't have to give it back. So I left that out with the flower, and she's gonna hang it in her room, and she's gonna keep it, and she's figuring things out, and this is a good way to do it, to have some random person's support that she doesn't know that wants to give her a flag. So those are the things, those little stories are big stories.
Is there anything else you want to share as we come to a close?
I definitely do. And I think Alyssa referenced earlier that we're all in a unique time right now. And I think everyone's very cognizant of the fact that there are lots of worries on people's mind, whether it be financial, whether it be health, whether it be just being worried about their parents, their children, people are home, people are out of work, losing their jobs. You know, we talked about the Pride launch event having to be postponed, which is disappointing because it was going to be a really magnificent party, and it will be a magnificent party when it comes around again. The generous contributions of people that were attending that party were the funds that were going to be used for these free flags to be delivered around town. The funds that people have given won't be released to our organization until we do have that party, which is the right thing to do. But you can imagine it limits the funds that we have to provide those free flags, which we will do. But certainly by going to the HinghamPrideProject.org and signing up for one of these fabulous H custom flags, you're helping to offset the cost of the Philadelphia Pride flag that will go out to the people who want it at no cost. So I would urge people, if you can, to go on and certainly to spread the word around.
What I really want is, there's this little saying that it's like, people who are gay, like, you don't go gay shopping or like go do the gay laundry, right? We do the same things that everyone else does. And if that piece is the piece that people can just get through their heads, the people who aren't as accepting, is that we're not different, we're just humans. And so if everyone is just treated like a human, then the world will be a little bit better. And so I think we have to start there. And then, because we're all different humans, we all have these fun, unique things about us. And some people, everybody shows their uniqueness in a different way. I mean, we joked around about the quarantine pink. I shaved my head for quarantine. I don't normally have much more hair than this, but I totally went for it. You know, and so right now my uniqueness is that I barely have any hair. You know, or whatever the thing is for you that makes you unique. And it doesn't have to be that I'm gay. It can be anything. So that's sort of my thought around that.
Well, I'll go on record and say that I'm going to go and I'm going to order a few flags because I've got some people in mind. Plus, I want to have one that I can fly right here in my home as well, because it resonated with me. It's the right thing to do, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you all for coming together with us on this series of South Shore Diversity Spotlights. We want to wish you continued safety and maintain your health as we make our way through the end of this pandemic health crisis, and look forward to following up with you when you pick that date for your Hingham Pride launch party.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, thank you.